Good morning, Midland First. Wonderful to gather with our praise band. Wonderful to gather with you. Thank you for braving the cold, braving the elements that we might share in this time together in worship. My name is Jeremy Africa, and I serve as a lead pastor here at Midland First United Methodist Church. As we begin in worship, we're going to have a number of announcements that we want to highlight, and we'll begin by handing things off to Pastor Bethany Maciejewski, who serves as our associate pastor.
Thank you, Pastor Jeremy. Indeed, I've got a couple announcements for you, including the first one, which is Parents Night Out. That will be on December 12th from 6 to 8 in the Fellowship Hall. You are welcome to drop off your kids and do some Christmas shopping if you need to, or whatever it is you'd like to do. And they will have a fun time together. If you know ahead of time that you would like to bring them, if you could call the office, or there is a sign-up sheet in the e-blast. That just helps us to know how to gauge for materials. And so if you know ahead of time, we would love for you to do that. And if not, that's okay too. But it's going to be a fun evening on December 12th. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Bethany. I too want to highlight some announcements, and I'll do so by directing your attention to our bulletin this morning. In the insert of the bulletin, you'll find an announcement regarding poinsettias that will be used to decorate the sanctuary for Christmas Eve. I invite you to note that orders for those are due this Wednesday, December 8th. Also want to draw your attention to the back of the bulletin, where you will find a listing of our Christmas Eve services. Encourage you to find a service that will best suit you, perhaps best suit your family, being mindful that we're going to welcome all who come to celebrate and worship on that evening. To that end, you might have seen on your way in that we have lawn signs to share with your neighbors when we are gathering in worship. And so on your way out, whether it's in the entryway of the sanctuary, in the parlor, or by the reception area, invite you to grab a sign, place it on your yard, and share our worship times with your neighbors. We want to give everyone an opportunity to celebrate Christ's birth with us as a church. Finally, for our last announcement, I'm going to invite Ellen Talbot, who serves as our chair of the Strategic Leadership Council, to come forward and to join Pastor Bethany and I for this announcement.
Good morning. The Strategic Leadership Council would like to share that after a period of deep prayer and discernment, Pastor Bethany has sensed God calling her to a new form of ministry beyond the local church. Trusting that call, she has shared with our district superintendent, Reverend John Casper, and our Bishop, David Barr, her intention to pursue further education and to withdraw from her current pastoral appointment. This change will take effect June 30th, 2026. So we have quite a while with Bethany.
That's
yet.
Right.
We know this news brings a mix of emotions, gratitude for her faithful leadership among us, sadness as we look toward a transition, and hope for the future God is preparing for both Pastor Bethany and our congregation. We give thanks for the many ways that Bethany has preached, taught, cared for, and walked alongside church over these last 2 years. The Strategic Leadership Council supports Pastor Bethany in her pursuit of God's calling and wishes her well in the next chapter of her ministry. In the coming months, our district superintendent will work with our church leadership as we prepare for this transition and begin the consultative appointment process for future pastoral leadership. More information will be shared as appropriate in the months ahead, along with the opportunities to honor Pastor Bethany's ministry. For now, I invite you to keep Pastor Bethany in your prayers as she follows God's call into this next season and to pray for our congregation as we continue seeking the guidance of the Holy Spirit. May God lead us with grace, unity, and hope. And now I'm going to ask Pastor Bethany to speak.
Thank you, Ellen. You have loved and supported me from the very start, and for that, I am so, so deeply grateful. And it is your encouragement and grace that has allowed me to say yes to God over and over and over again in this time. And it's your love and your care that allows me to say yes to this new call to ministry. By no means do I consider this call outside the local church to be the end of my ministry, but rather a shift in what that looks like. And I'm just so, so deeply grateful for each of you and the ways that you've encouraged me. And it's your deep care for me and my deep care for you that's guided this whole discernment process. And the Lord has just led me with gentleness and grace. And I have known his gentleness and grace through you. And I'm so, so, so grateful. Thank you so, so much.
And so my hope as a congregation is that we will receive Pastor Bethany's sharing of her discernment and her decision very much in the spirit of Advent, that we would use this as a time of both preparation and anticipation of what God is doing in your life, Pastor Bethany, and also within the church's life. And so if you are comfortable this morning, I'm going to invite you to reach your arms out in the direction of Pastor Bethany as we pray God's blessings upon her and our church this day. We give you thanks, for we know that you are at work in her life and that you are doing a work that plants a God-sized dream in her life and her ministry. And so this morning we ask for your blessing upon it. We also pray for your blessings upon our church, the consultative process that is coming forward to fill this appointment, and all that you will do in your church through all of this. We trust your hand as you walk us through this season, and as you walk us through this Advent season, may our hearts be filled with anticipation and thanksgiving for all that you have done, all that you are doing, and all that you will do. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
Advent reminds us that we are people who share a story. The story of Jesus, who enacts peace by judging in favor of the poor and deciding with equity for the meek of the earth. We long for the day when the wolf shall lie down with the lamb, the leopard shall lie down with the kid, the calf and the lion will feed together, and a little child shall lead them. Today we choose to live the story of peace, believing that the true peace comes when we see the flourishing of all God's creation.
We light this candle of peace as a sign of our commitment to bring light to the places the world seeks to hide, until that day when all creation lives together in harmony and abundance.
I invite you to stand as you are able and to join us in our opening hymn, God Almighty, We Are Waiting. You'll find this on the bulletin insert and also on the screen in front of you.
Thank you. children come forward? Can you come over this way, guys? We got a lot going all around us today. We got communion, we got bells, we're gonna have a wonderful celebration. So we're just gonna kind of make our way up. I guess we're gonna go up the stairs to begin with. Anybody else? Everybody is welcome. I'm so glad to see all you guys today. Wow, it's wonderful. So we're gonna go up the hidden stairs together to start with, since there's so much going on. All right, this way, Owen. We're not Sunday school yet. This way. Great job, guys. Great job. Thank you, Alec, for leading the way. All right, we're not going to go back there quite yet. We're going to be kind of center stage right here. So today, we got some exciting things. We're talking some more about our mystery of Christmas. Long, long ago, the church and Christians decided that we need, it is a mystery, isn't it? That we needed something to help us get to Christmas. So the Advent came up with. So today, I'd like to thank, last week, Lighting Alec and Violet and their families lit the first candle last week, the first candle, which was a prophet's candle. This week, Miss Sherry and KG lit the second candle, which we greatly appreciate. And they have been involved in children's ministry for such a long time. I just want to give them a hand because it's great to have people in our congregation that are committed to children. And they show that every day, and they show God's love to them. Okay, now, for the second week here, we're talking about peace, right? That was what we're doing. Does everybody know what peace is? We're gonna discover it a little bit more in Sunday school class. Okay, so today we have, where we sat our stage last week of the nativity scene. We put up the lamb. Those of you that were here helped us with the lamb. I appreciate that greatly. And we put up, it's supposed to be a cow, okay? So we put that up. So we did the animals last week, right? They help do a lot of things that animals do. They bring joy and love and peace.
And milk.
Huh?
Milk,
that's true. Cow does bring milk too. And there's more animals. I wonder what other animals if you could add to it. They do. You're right. Animals bring a lot to the humans, don't they? What other animals, I wonder, would you guys bring?
A pig.
A pig, yeah.
Yeah, a pig makes
horse. Would a good one, yeah. The camel and the donkey, right? There's a whole bunch. So this morning, we have a couple more we're going to discover we need to add to our nativity, right? Okay, all right. Okay, so there's one. Who is that?
Jesus.
No, that one is
Joseph.
Okay, come on, Violet, up here. Okay, and they might have had something to kind of guide them, I would think, on their journey, right? You want to guide us on our journey?
Can I help Mary?
Okay, so you know what, Violet? You guys got to help last week, although I greatly appreciate it, and you guys did the candles. So this time, we are going to let some of our other friends help to this time, okay? Thank you for being such a good helper. You guys are awesome. Okay, so who's this that you have here, Natalie?
Jesus.
Uh-huh. But before Jesus was born, who went? What did they ride on? Somebody was pregnant, right? Mary was pregnant, and Joseph, and they had a long journey, didn't they? They were on their way to Bethlehem, so it was quite the journey. They had, what did they have to guide them in the stuck sky? A bright star, probably, right? I don't know. What else do you think they might have had to guide them? There was a moon out there, right? So let's put up first. Who shall we put up first? Joseph? Okay.
And then Jesus.
That's a great idea. You can do it any way you want. If you want to put Mary next. Okay, so go ahead and help us, Meredith. Thank you so much. You know what? You can set it right beside it if you want to. Should we set it right beside, right here to guide? I'm sorry. Thank you. And we need, who else do we need up there? Mary. Thank you very much. Let's do a quick prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the mystery of the season. Please help us to have open hearts and childlike, like these children. Let us to embrace your peace and your hope. And as we explore Advent further in the couple weeks to come, may you help us to find the joy and the mystery of the season. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
As we come to a time of offering, I invite you to sign the red friendship pads at the end of your pew. If you don't know who's sitting with you in your pew today, I invite you to take a look as you pass it back. We love to get to know our neighbors. We love to know who's here, and so I invite you to do that as the ushers come forward. And I also invite you to reflect on the ways that God has blessed you this week. Will the ushers please come forward?
A Savior, God's Son. Through the silence of centuries, we waited for Him to be born of a virgin in Bethlehem. Come and see what our God. Our living proof. Oh, come and see what our God has done. Come and hear the angel's song. He's our living every promise made true.
cause he's live and true. Oh, he's our living
God, we know that every good and perfect gift is from you. We thank you for these gifts that you have given us, that we have the privilege to give back to you. We pray that you use them to your honor and glory and to the fullest extent and to widen your kingdom. We love you and we thank you so much. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark. Mark chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And I'll be reading from the New Living Translation this morning. This is the good news written about Jesus the Messiah, the Son of God. It began just as the prophet Isaiah had written. Look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness and preached that people should be baptized to show that they had repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. All of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John. And when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. His clothes were woven from coarse camel hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. For food, he ate locusts and wild honey. John announced, "Someone is coming soon who is greater than I am. So much greater than I am that I am not even worthy to stoop down like a slave and untie the straps of his sandals. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Prepare the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. Here on the second Sunday of Advent, we are greeted by the words of Isaiah in the opening chapter of Mark's Gospel. And with these words, and in our continuation of our Advent study, Heaven and Earth by Will Willimon, we are reminded that the Advent season, that this time in between the four Sundays leading up to Christmas and last until Christmas Eve, we are reminded that this season is all about anticipation and preparation. Admittedly, for the church and even the non-church, it's tempting to make the Advent season all about our celebration on Christmas Day, all about our celebration of Christ's birth and what we might celebrate and what we might do on the 25th. However, Will Willimon, in his Advent study, And truly, the church as a whole reminds us that we are waiting for more, that we live in anticipation of more, that we are preparing for more. For indeed, not only are we anticipating celebrating Jesus' birth on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, as the church, we also live in anticipation of Jesus' second coming, of Jesus' return. And I know as United Methodists, we aren't always comfortable with that idea or even with that language or even those portions of our Bible, but that is what we believe in, that Jesus is coming back and that we live our lives in preparation for his return. And so we turn our attention to John the Baptist, the one God sent to prepare God's people for Jesus' first arrival, for his first coming. It's interesting to note, as Willimon, who is a professor at Duke University Divinity School and a retired bishop within the United Methodist Church, it's interesting to note that he points out, quote, Advent, in other words, Jesus' arrival on the scene, is announced not in some beautifully proportioned church, but in the remote, untamed, uncivilized wilderness, where it's hard to find your way, and some become lost, end quote. And nor is John the Baptist your prototypical pastor or religious leader. Instead, if we listen closely, he too is at the edge or even beyond of where we are comfortable. By all accounts, John is a bit rough on the edges. He's not in a beautifully proportioned church, but he's out in the wilderness. And he's calling people to be baptized. And he's wearing clothes made out of camel's hair. And he's eating meals on the go. The precursor of Lunchables, right? Locusts and wild honey. What was God's point? What was God communicating back then? And what might God be communicating to the church today? Indeed, in our beautifully proportioned churches and sanctuaries, I suggest, along with Willimon, that all this is a precursor. It's a sign, if you will, that God is coming to us. And that when God does, it will not be on our terms or in our ways. But that when God comes to us, it is on God's terms and in God's ways. So be prepared. Prepare the way of the Lord. I love how Will Willimon describes the sacred moments of baptism. Here's what he writes in his book, Heaven and Earth. Quote, when you are initiated into the body of Christ, in other words, when you're brought into the church through baptism, like John, we strip you down, bathe you, half drown you, pull you up all wet and sticky like a newborn. We lay hands on your head, give you a job way beyond your natural abilities, and insist that you affirm the Apostles' Creed even when you don't understand it all. We call you by the name of Christian. You're asked to believe, or at least be open to believing, that the Almighty God was born, that a virgin birthed Jesus, that Jesus' arrival was announced by a wild-eyed, crazily attired wilderness preacher, that he who was king allowed himself to be tortured and killed, that his once-dead body came back to life after 3 days, and that the first thing on Jesus' mind on the day of resurrection was to resume conversation with the same losers who betrayed and abandon him in his time of trouble. It sounds a bit crazy, doesn't it, when you put it that way? But that's what we believe, and that's what we proclaim. You've heard that in the music today. You've heard it up front when the children came forward. This is exactly what baptism is. It is a doorway into God's family, an entry point into God's story. And a lot like marriage, if we knew all what this would entail, very few of us would say yes to it. And even fewer, if any, would be prepared. And yet in our baptism, God is the one turning to us, saying to us as our Heavenly Father that we belong, that even in the wilderness or wherever we have wandered, there is the beginning of something new and something possible and something we have not yet seen. All this in the sacred moments of one's baptism. And so, yes, prepare the way of the Lord. But Willimon, and even more so John the Baptist, reminds us that our preparations are not just about the sacred moments in the Jordan River. They're not just about that moment of our baptism. As Jesus' followers and as those actively waiting for his return, God calls us to be open. God calls us to be open. To be open to what God is doing, even if it means, in Willimon's words, to be surprised, to be all shook up, to be turned upside down. In other words, God isn't here to shape the world around us or to cement the world around what we believe. More so, God is calling us to be open to him and to be open to what God is doing. Listen to Willimon's observations of the church today, one that I believe is appropriate to many churches, if not to many United Methodist churches. Remember, be open. Willimon writes, "Nowadays, we seem to have lost faith in the ability of the Holy Spirit to change hearts and minds. My church has self-divided into traditionalists and progressives, each group trying to get as far apart from the other as possible because they believe very different things about same-sex unions. Irreconcilable differences, they say. The only thing they can agree on is that the Holy Spirit is unable to change people once their mind is made up. Poor Jesus. He is now incapable of producing a church with a mix of Republicans and Democrats, unable to entice them into taking the Eucharist together, whether they like one another or not. Best Jesus can do is to huddle together folks who look and think like one another. If our fellow Christians are wrong-headed and confused, what's the response to that? Not sifting out the saints until there's nobody there, but people who think as they thought before they came to church. The answer is in John the Baptizer's call to metanoia, to conversion and change, renovation and repentance. There's a new world coming. Let go of your tight grip of the old cosmos. Relinquish your citizenship in the old order and risk taking up residence in the new." End quote. Friends, Advent is about letting go of the idea that we are finished products, that God has already done doing what God intended to do in shaping our hearts and minds and spirit. Advent is about staying open, not only to what God has done, but also to what God is doing and will do in you and through you. And so what do we do with this time? How do we prepare in Advent? How do we prepare not just for Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, but also in believing and in knowing that Jesus is coming back? How do we prepare? If you've never been baptized, we prepare by considering accepting this gift from God. That bottom line, we would consider being baptized. That we would respond to God turning to us in Jesus Christ by surrendering our life and our being over to God. And if you are already among the baptized, our preparation entails being open. Not being open to God bending to our will or our ways, but to having our world and even the church, big C, and even the church, little c, surprised and all shook up and turned upside down. Looking back at my life, so far I can point to a handful of times when I was truly open to myself or my life being all shook up by God. When I said yes to God's call in my life to be a pastor, when I asked Cara to marry me, when I stood alongside Cara at the birth of our son. Okay, truth be told, I was sitting down tucked away in a corner, but I was still there. The truth was going to come out eventually. And each time I took a new appointment to serve a new church. None of these times to saying yes to God, to shaking my world up, none of these resulted in God bending to my will, bending to my ways, bending to my plans. If not quite the opposite, some of these have led me into a time or two of wilderness. But looking back, each has made the way for something new, for something good, for God-sized dream in my life and in the church, the communities around me, and the world. So how is God calling you to prepare this Advent season? Yes, for how we will celebrate Jesus' birth, but also for his return. Might he be tugging at your heart this morning to be baptized? Is there something that you need to surrender as you come forward, knowing that if you really could have it, you would bend God's will and God's ways, God's plans to your own? As you come to the table that God has invited all of us to, may we be open to preparing the way of the Lord. Amen. Amen. Friends, let us pray. God, you sent John so long ago to prepare our hearts and our way for this very moment. Help us to listen. Lord, for those who need to surrender their life and put their faith in you, for those who need to step into the waters of our baptism, even though we don't fully understand them, Lord, may your Holy Spirit come upon us this morning and move in us in a way that powerfully says to us, come and jump in. Come and prepare the way of the Lord in your life. And Lord, for others, we come to this moment knowing that we need to surrender to you, to all that you are still doing and will do. Speak equally clear to us, O Lord. And help us to be open to what you are doing as we prepare our hearts now to receive this gift of your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
our world.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for meeting us in this Advent season. However you are calling us to do in our life and where we are in our faith journey, help us to prepare the way of the Lord. Amen. Friends, I mentioned that if you are wishing to be baptized, that there would be opportunity at the end of the service. If that's where your heart is, if that's how the Spirit is moving in you, I invite you to come forward. We'll share a conversation. We'll take your name. And then on December 21st, we will have you baptized into the church and into God's family, into God's story. And so I invite you to come forward during the closing hymn if you wish. And we, Pastor Bethany or myself, will be happy to have that conversation with you this morning. And so as you are able, I invite you to stand for our closing hymn. It will be Hail to the Lord's Anointed, found on page 203 of the hymnal or on the screen in front of you. Thank you. So friends, whether you're in our sanctuary or whether you are worshiping with us online, if you are interested in being baptized on December 21st, again, encourage you to come seek me out, to come seek out Pastor Bethany in the coming weeks. We want to invite you into God's family, into what God is doing in our church and in our world. And if indeed we need to make a new way forward with something in our life, a relationship, a situation, a decision, may we be open to what God is doing that we might prepare the way of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.